Be seated. Thanks for being here today. And Pat, I really liked your helpers. There you are. Yeah, they did a great job. Appreciate that very much. And appreciate seeing everybody out and about. We're getting into springtime now. We've got a little rain, a little warmer weather, and it's been a beautiful joy. And I hope that you enjoyed last week's worship. Alan Sibley and the Magnolia Ramblers, they did a great job for us, and appreciated worshiping them, or worshiping with them. And it's great to be back this morning as well. Dr. Helen Rosevere, a missionary to Zaire, she told the following story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to allow the infant to live. They took hot water bottles and they warmed up hot water bottles and to keep the baby warm, but after a little while, the hot water bottles began to rupture, and they were beyond repair. And so the missionary and the doctors, they got the village together, and they began to pray, and there were some special prayers that went up. And one of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late, because by then, the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely." Now, the interesting thing is, after that little beautiful, sincere prayer, there was a package that was delivered. It was from England. And the children began to watch eagerly as they began to open it. And much to their surprise, under some clothing was, guess what? It was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly, she started to dig deeper. And explaining, "If God sent that, I'm sure that he also sent that doll." She kept on digging, and sure enough, there was a doll in that same exact package. You know, the Heavenly Father knew in advance what that child's sincere request was all about and what the need was there. It was the will of God for that, and that child touched the will of God and began to pray in his will. 5 months earlier, that package had been sent from England and delivered on the very exact day that it was needed. You know, as we think about prayer, prayer is powerful. Prayer has also purpose. But prayer is not a simple wish list to give to God. It's a way of displaying God's true will. Prayer is a purposeful event because it's a relationship between us and God. God designed it so we can spend time with him, hearing from him, talking to him, sharing our heart's burdens with him, understanding him better. But most importantly, prayer is about us adjusting ourselves to him and moving away from our selfish desires and the world's desires and move our heart closer to the will of God. The purpose of prayer is not to convince God to give us what we want or what we believe we need. Prayer is a process to adjust our heart to God's will. The purpose of prayer is to get to know God and get to understand his will and to incorporate his will and to make his will our very own. We must adjust ourselves to God himself. Do you desire what God the Father desires? Sometimes I do, and sometimes there's times when I don't. Do you also know the purpose of prayer? Jesus knew and taught us the facts of prayer, and I've used this acronym from Hank Hanegraaff a number of times, but Hank Hanegraaff suggested that this is the facts of prayer, and it's an acrostic, and it goes like this. The F of facts stands for faith. We pray in faith, believing, knowing, and believing and trusting God to be God. We also see the A of facts, and that's adoration. In our prayer, we pray with faith, trusting the Lord, but we also pray adoring him, bringing glory to him with what we'll be talking about a little bit later, as well as what we just sang about. But adoration, adoring God for who he is. But the facts of prayer also involve C, the confessions. You know, confession of our own sins. Sometimes we allow sins to come into our life, and it begins to foul our relationship up with. It's not pure and clean like it ought to be. And so God wants us to do away with that. And we do away with that whenever we come across it by confessing those to him. We see the T of facts, and that's thanksgiving, being thankful for all the blessings that God has given to us, no matter what they might be. You know, as simple as taking breath into your lungs is important to be thankful for. Then we have the S, which what we generally want to focus on in our prayers, and that's supplication, asking God for the things that we believe that we need. Now, He does desire for us to share our hearts with Him. If we're hurting, if we're struggling, He wants us to hear those prayers. And if they're not right on target with His will, He begins to nurture us and begins to work with us so that we can begin to understand. But supplications, He does want us to give Him our requests. But He wants us to do that through faith, after we've adore Him, confess, and with thanksgiving. So those are just some basic components of what prayer is all about. And then today, we're going to explore the purposeful prayer of Jesus. Because we see here in chapter 17, the entire chapter is dedicated to the prayer of Christ. We're only going to be looking at the first five verses today. But if you could open your Bibles with me to John chapter 17, we're going to read the first five verses. And if you could open your Bibles and stand with me to honor the Lord and His word. Let us do so together. After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those who have given Him. Now, this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and that Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I have brought to You glory on earth by finishing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory that I had with You before the world began." Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for this precious prayer of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, as we see it as in a very special relationship that He has with You, Father. But we also know and recognize that there are important truths for us to hear and to glean from, Lord, for us to know and to understand, to apply to our lives. Father, I pray Your true life application of Your word today in our lives. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we think about prayer, we often think about Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, which is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And rightly so, it should be, because it certainly is. Because as we also explore those passages, we do in fact see Jesus is teaching to His disciples as to the pattern for prayer, not unlike what Hank Hanegraaff shared with us with the facts of prayer. So those are really important that we pray that way. But Matthew 6 and Luke 11 are beautiful messages of truth for us, to certainly incorporate into our life. But there's something also incredibly special in John chapter 17. In those verses, we see this beautiful prayer of our Lord. In essence, John 17 is truly the Lord's Prayer, because we see the intimate fellowship with the Father, with Jesus here, in this intimate glance in this prayer. In this beautiful prayer of our Lord, we see a summary, really, of the entire Gospel of John. You know, we see it that Jesus is obedient to the Father. We see Jesus glorifying the Father. We see the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. We see the calling out and the missions of His disciples into the world. We see the unity for believers and the final destination to be the presence of God the Father and God the Son. So we see all that, all nestled here in chapter 17. Speaking throughout that, and like I said, it's a good summary of the entire book of John. But this morning, we're going to be focusing on the first five verses. It's a beautiful description of the purposeful prayer of Jesus Christ. So let's look here in this passage for the purpose of Jesus' prayer. You can go along in your bulletin, write in the fill in the blanks if you'd like. The purpose of Jesus' prayer is first to glorify God. In verse 1 of chapter 17, after Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You." Now we see here the phrase, "the hour has come." So what is this hour? What hour are we talking about? Well, finally, the reason, the purpose for Jesus to come from heaven to earth is now being displayed here as with anticipation. For Jesus is referring to His death as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of all of mankind. Without the specific purpose for which Jesus came, our eternal destination would be radically different. You see, sin serves as an impenetrable barrier for us to get to God. And Scripture is clear. For all have sinned. And if we die in sin, we're doomed for hell. But the Father sent the Son to save us. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. This is the hour. The Father required a blood sacrifice to forgive sin. And there's only one sacrifice big enough for the entire sins of mankind. And that sacrifice the Father sent to us is Jesus Christ, God the Son. So when Jesus said the hour has come, he's saying it is now time to die for you and for you and for me. So that's what he's basically telling us right here. And now notice that as Jesus prayed for glory for himself, the prayer was not a selfish prayer. That prayer was for the fulfillment of God's will, which would soon ultimately bring glory to God the Father. The glory to glorify the Father, the Son, had to be glorified through the death and resurrection, the salvation as God the Father had planned. Jesus, God the Son, would be glorified for his death for the sins of mankind. He would be buried and he would rise from the grave. And through Jesus Christ, countless millions will be saved. And when we're saved, we become children of God. And when we're children of God, we're united with a desire to glorify the Father for redeeming us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus was ready to glorify the Father by completing God's will and to do the work for which was required. In verse 4 of our focal passage, it says, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. See, honor brings God glory. Do we live a life to honor the Lord? When we honor the Lord in the way we live, we're bringing glory to God. Obedience brings God's glory. Are we being obedient to the commands of Christ? Acceptance of God's offer of salvation through Jesus brings God glory. Do you see the same purpose of Jesus' prayer? Do you seek to glorify God? Verse 5 of our focal passage says, And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Wow, that's a glimpse of his greatness here. Before the existence of this world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were present. Through their presence, glory was shown. Friends, we have now, between now and eternity, to bring glory to God. Are you glorifying God in your life? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you pray and read his scriptures and spend time with him? Do you obey him? Do you worship him? Do you serve him? Do you share your faith with others? My friends, as Jesus shares in verse 1, it is time for all of us to glorify God. As we continue to look in this passage, we see our next point. See, the purposeful prayer of Jesus also includes to give eternal life. Verse 2 says, For you granted him authority for over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has a purpose. And Jesus' purposeful prayer was to give eternal life. And that's certainly a big purpose. And Jesus has the authority to do it. God the Father gave Jesus all authority. In fact, we can remember Matthew 28. We said most of 19 and 20 whenever Sammy was baptized. But in verse 18, do we remember what Jesus said there? It says, Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Here's a proclamation from Jesus Christ our Lord himself by saying that the Father had given him all authority. While Jesus has all authority, remember that Jesus does not act by himself. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Scripture says, Jesus gave them this answer, Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus enjoys and appreciates joining work with God the Father. In fact, John chapter 6, verse 44 says, This is, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. So we see that Jesus really appreciates the unity effort of working alongside with God the Father. Christians, if Jesus did not work unless it was in concert with the Father, why would we ever think that we can do things on our own? Eternal life is a beautiful example of how our one God works together. God the Father expressed His will for salvation. God the Son put the Father's will into action. And God the Holy Spirit convicts men's hearts and draws us to salvation. Do you seek the same purpose of Jesus' prayer? Do you seek to share the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Friends, we're called to be witnesses for Jesus. Will you share the hope of eternal life through Jesus with someone this week? See, we're goal setters. If you set no goal with sharing Christ with someone this week, I'm almost guaranteeing that you will meet that goal. But if you have a goal setting yourself, one person, I'm going to share Christ with one person this week, and you strive and you pray and you seek God's assistance to be able to achieve that, guess what? You'll be sharing your faith probably more than one time. You'll be sharing your faith a lot. As we look on, the purpose of Jesus' prayer is shows us a third thing. That purpose was to know God. In verse 3 of chapter 17, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Part of the purpose of Jesus' prayer is for people to know God. And specifically, Jesus says, the one true God, I like to add living God, the one true living God. We serve one God. The Old Testament acknowledged one God in Deuteronomy. Remember that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." We serve one God who's made up of three persons, just like what we saw with Sammy's baptism. We baptized her by Jesus' command. And what was he command us to do it? By commanding her to be baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. God is one, made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three distinctive persons who make up one God. Jesus' prayer was for glory to God. His prayer was for eternal life. And eternal life has that purpose. The purpose of eternal life is to know God, the one true God. The first five verses of chapter 17 reveals an incredible and beautiful prayer. The purpose of Jesus is for people to know God. He didn't say know about God, because there's a lot of people who know about God. There's a lot of people who know about Jesus, but they don't know my Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Because if they knew Jesus as Lord, then they would not allow sin to be the Lord of their life. Eternal life is about really knowing God. Many people know about God, but that doesn't mean that He's their Lord and Savior. Eternal life is about knowing God, which is to accept responsibility for the sin of our life. And we are to seek God's forgiveness and to turn to the Lord by accepting His life, death, and resurrection, and then to choose to live an obedient life for Him. That kind of catches us up. That lordship of Christ sometimes catches us up, because we know we're a sinner, and we ask God to forgive us of that because we know that we're a sinner. And we do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave. But that third component about the lordship of Christ, sometimes that just goes against what people have. But that's when people, that's the delineation of knowing about God and knowing God, because those who know about God will continue to let sin rule and master their life. But those who really know God knows that it is incompatible for a child of light, a child of God, to continue to live in sin. And so as a result, there's a difference. Knowing God, knowing about Him. Jesus doesn't necessarily want you just simply to know about God. He wants you to know Him. Knowing God changes our life right now, and it changes our life for all eternity. Do you seek the same purpose of Jesus' prayer? Do you seek to know God? If you do know God, are you sharing that knowledge and relationship with others? See, my friends, there are many people within our community, and sometimes within our families, even within our churches, and you can look at a concentric zone. You can go from the closest circle on out, but you'll find many, many people who are broken, many people who are struggling, many people who are hopeless, many people who have problems that they don't know how to deal with. The solution to the problems and challenges of life is to know God and to know salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ our Lord. Doesn't mean that the problems just disappear. Doesn't mean that there won't be bad things that will happen to us. What it does mean is that we have a supernatural power within us that will help us to deal with those situations. Knowing God. Jesus provides us a purposeful prayer today. Do you know that prayer? I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand to your feet as musicians come and they play softly. Let me ask you a couple of questions for this invitation period of time. John 17 reveals a beautiful prayer of Jesus. This prayer is meaningful, it's powerful, and it has a purpose. Do you know the purpose of Jesus' prayer? God deserves our glory. God deserves our worship, and God deserves our praise. Do you glorify God in the way that you live your life? A purpose and desire of Jesus' life was to give eternal life. Have you accepted Jesus' offer? Are you ready to turn from sin and turn to Jesus Christ? Sammy's baptism is a wonderful example of accepting Jesus' offer for eternal life. I'm wondering this, does her testimony touch your heart? See, all believers has a testimony. We all have our own stories. We haven't walked the same paths, but we all were going the same direction until something radically changed in our life when God drew us to himself and we repented and come to Jesus as Lord. The purpose of Jesus' prayer is for people to know eternal life. To know eternal life is to know the one true God. Friend, do you know God? Or do you just know about him? Knowing about him is not good enough. You got to know him personally. If you do not know God, and if you do not have a real and personal relationship with the one true living God, will you come today? Will you come and accept that same purpose of that prayer that Jesus gave to us? Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for everyone here today. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make any type of decision, perhaps today there's someone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior. Father, if that's the case, I pray that you'll convict their heart and help them to come forward to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Father, perhaps they have and accepted you and just like Sammy gave an inspiration to them, Lord, with her baptism, Lord, they know that is the next step of obedience that they need to do. Perhaps there's others that are drawn to unite with this church, Lord, to become a member, or others who just simply have a burden, and they want to turn those burdens over to you, Father. Or whatever decision we need to make, give us the courage to step forward today. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page
429.
If you need to make a decision, I want to invite you to come as we sing. To share the word, and he's also going to spend some time for
those of us who are part of church council, he'll be going downstairs with us and spending some time as well. So there'll be a special love gift for him at the end of the service next week. So you come and be a part of that and be prepared for that as well. With that in mind, I'll turn it over to Aaron for some announcements.
It's me again. Got a little note here to read. If you haven't noticed, Joanne Weiser was here this morning. Looking good, feeling good. She said she's still kicking, just not quite as high as she used to, but most of us can understand that. And anyway, dear church family, thank you for all the prayers, calls, cards, and visits during my recovery from surgery. Joanne Weiser. So, glad she's here. Just a few announcements here to talk about. Let's see, this week, Easter choir practice is tonight at 5:30. Tomorrow night, Monday, 6:45 is men's Bible study. And Wednesday night will be our Awanas, supper and everything. So come eat with us and take part in that. And just for the Awana participants, it's cowboy and cowgirl night. So boots, hats, don't leave your horse at home. We can't take the horse. So maybe some other time. Coming up next week, movie night, March 31st at 6:30. Be downstairs. We'll be showing the movie Indivisible. There'll be popcorn and sodas, I believe. Tanisha is still looking for nursery workers and volunteers. Let her know if you're willing to be helped out with that. And Amy has made a little technology information pamphlets on the back table outside in the foyer. It has all the information on how to find us on Facebook, the website, giving online, and all those things. So if you need a little tutorial like I would, grab one of those and take with you. So that's all I have. Let's close in prayer. Corey, would you pray, please?